Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe. And if you're into chips, silicon, and the hardware that's literally powering the future, you're in exactly the right place. Huge thanks to our sponsors today. Limitless AI, helping businesses actually integrate AI into their workflows in ways that make a real difference. And Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting. All right, we've got a packed episode today. Jim Keller is out here talking major trash about Cerebras and hinting at a blockbuster deal with either Intel or Qualcomm. TSMC's got some drama on two fronts. Intel is shaking up the memory game, and there's a challenger claiming their chip is 10 times faster than a GPU. Let's get into it. Okay, so first up, we have to talk about Jim Keller. If you don't know the name, just know this. This is the guy who has had a hand in designing some of the most influential chips of the last few decades. We're talking AMD's Zen architecture, Apple's A4 and A5 chips, Tesla's Autopilot chip, and now he's running Tenstorrent. And when Jim Keller speaks, the industry listens because the man does not mince words. So here's the story. Cerebras, one of Tenstorrent's main competitors in the AI chip space, recently filed for an IPO, and a lot of people were watching to see how Keller would react. Would he be nervous? Worried about the competition getting a capital injection? Nope. His response was basically, great, glad they did it. It actually helps us, and we're still going to beat them on everything. Now that's a bold claim. But Keller isn't just throwing words around here. Tenstorrent recently introduced what they're calling the Black Hole Galaxy server, and the benchmarks that have been coming out of that launch are pretty eye-opening. We're talking about up to 5 times better total cost of ownership compared to NVIDIA's GB300. And if you know anything about enterprise hardware, buying decisions, TCO, total cost of ownership, is often the number that actually closes deals. It's not just about raw performance, it's about what it costs to run these systems over time. Power, cooling, maintenance, licensing, the whole picture. Think of it like this. If you're choosing between two cars, and one is faster but costs twice as much in fuel, insurance, and maintenance, a lot of people are going to pick the slower but cheaper one for their daily commute. That's the angle Tenstorrent is playing here. They're saying, hey, you don't have to sacrifice performance and you save money. That's a really compelling pitch, but here's where it gets even more interesting. Keller has confirmed that he's been meeting with the CEOs of both Intel and Qualcomm, and he was pretty direct about it. He said he's hoping to get a big deal. Now, he didn't say which company or what kind of deal, but just think about what either of those partnerships could mean. Intel has massive manufacturing scale and a deep enterprise customer base. Qualcomm has incredible reach in mobile and edge computing and has been pushing hard into AI inference. Either one of those pairing up with Tenstorrent's chip architecture could be a really, really significant development. What Tenstorrent is building is based on a RISC-V architecture, which is an open-source instruction set. Think of it as the foundation of how the chip speaks to software. And one of Keller's big bets is that RISC-V gives you flexibility and efficiency that proprietary architectures can't match at the same cost point. If a company like Intel or Qualcomm decides to back that bet with resources and distribution, suddenly Tenstorrent goes from scrappy challenger to legitimate heavyweight contender. So the takeaway here, Jim Keller is not playing defense. He's treating the Cerebras IPO as validation that the alternative AI chip market is real and growing, and he's using that momentum to swing for the fences. Whether he can actually back up the claim of beating everyone on everything, that's what the benchmarks and the deals will ultimately tell us. But I'll say this, I would not bet against Jim Keller. The man has a track record. All right, let's pivot to some TSMC news. And we've actually got two TSMC stories today, so I'm going to tackle them back to back because they paint an interesting picture together. First one, TSMC shares took a hit recently as Taiwan is apparently considering implementing tougher restrictions on AI chip exports to China. Now, this is one of those stories that sits right at the intersection of geopolitics and semiconductor supply chains. And honestly, it's one of the most important dynamics in the entire chip industry right now. TSMC, for those who maybe are newer to the show, is essentially the world's most advanced chip foundry. They make chips for Apple, NVIDIA, AMD, Qualcomm, basically everyone who matters in silicon. And they're based in Taiwan, which makes the China question very, very politically loaded. So the concern here is pretty straightforward. If Taiwan tightens export controls on advanced AI chips going to China, that affects TSMC's revenue because China is a significant market. Investors don't love uncertainty, and anytime there's a policy question hanging over a company that generates this much of the world's advanced silicon, the market reacts, hence the share price dip. But let's zoom out a little and think about why this is happening. The U.S. has already been pushing for restrictions on advanced chip exports to China. We saw this with the export control rules around NVIDIA's A100 and H100 chips, and then the subsequent attempts to create workaround chips. The idea is to prevent China from accessing the most powerful chips for military AI applications or to close the technology gap too quickly. Taiwan moving in this direction would actually be significant because it adds another layer of restriction beyond just what the US mandates. It would signal that Taiwan itself is taking a harder line on technology transfer to China, which has massive geopolitical implications. And for TSMC specifically, it creates this tension. They want to serve global customers and keep revenue growing, but they're also operating within an increasingly complex web of national security considerations. The analogy I'd use here is like being the world's best chef who has a restaurant that everyone wants to eat at, but your local government is starting to say you can't serve certain dishes to certain customers. You're still the best chef. Your kitchen is still the best in the world, but your menu is getting constrained by forces outside your control. That's TSMC's situation in a nutshell. And this is why supply chain diversification, TSMC building fabs in Arizona, in Japan, is so strategically important. It gives them and their customers options. Okay, now the second TSMC story. And this one is a lot more optimistic from an industry perspective. TSMC's CEO came out and said that AI chip demand is going to outpace supply for years. Years, not months, years. And look, you might expect a chip manufacturer to say something bullish about demand that's good for their business. But when the CEO of the company that makes the vast majority of the world's advanced chips says demand will exceed supply for years, that statement has real weight behind it. They see the order books, they see what's coming, and they're telling us the pipeline is full and the capacity to fill it is still being built. What this means practically is a few things. First, if you're a company trying to build AI systems and you need cutting-edge chips, particularly anything built on advanced process nodes like 3-nanometer or 2-nanometer, you're going to be competing hard for allocation. We've already seen this play out with companies essentially prepaying TSMC for capacity or signing long-term supply agreements just to secure their spot in line. Second, this is a massive signal for capital investment in semiconductor manufacturing. Building a leading-edge fab costs tens of billions of dollars and takes years to come online. If TSMC CEO is saying demand outpaces supply for years, that's a green light for continued massive CapEx investment across the industry. And we're already seeing governments pouring money into domestic chip manufacturing, the US Chips Act, Europe's chip initiatives, Japan's incentives for TSMC's Kumamoto facility. Third, and this is important for the hardware ecosystem broadly, it means the companies building alternative AI chips, like our friends Tenstorrent and Cerebras we just talked about, have a real opening. If NVIDIA chips are constrained by supply, customers are going to look at alternatives more seriously. Supply scarcity opens the door for challengers. So in a weird way, TSMC's supply constraint problem is actually an opportunity for the broader AI chip ecosystem. Next up, Intel. Now, Intel has had a rough few years, let's be honest. They've been losing ground in data centers, they've struggled with manufacturing transitions, and in the AI accelerator space, they've been playing catch-up. But this story is actually pretty interesting because Intel is making a bold architectural bet with a new AI chip. Here's the headline. Intel's new AI chip skips the costly memory that NVIDIA relies on, and that's a significant design decision that deserves some unpacking. So let's talk about memory for a second, because this is really at the heart of AI chip performance and cost. The memory NVIDIA uses in its top-end AI chips, things like the H100 and the B200, is called HBM, which stands for High Bandwidth Memory. And HBM is incredible. It offers massive bandwidth, meaning data can flow between the memory and the compute cores extremely fast. For AI workloads, which are constantly shuffling enormous amounts of data around, that bandwidth is crucial. Think of it like having a superhighway between your chip and its memory instead of a country road. More lanes, faster traffic, better performance. But HBM is expensive, really expensive. A significant portion of the cost of an NVIDIA H100, which can run north of $30,000, is the HBM. And there's also a supply constraint issue because HBM is made by a small number of manufacturers, primarily SK Hynix and Samsung and Micron, and they can only produce so much of it. So what Intel is doing with this new chip is saying, what if we architect around that constraint? What if we design the chip so it doesn't need HBM and instead uses a different, more accessible, and cheaper memory approach? Now, the obvious question is, does that mean worse performance? And the answer is, it depends on the workload. For certain inference tasks, which is running a trained AI model to generate outputs, you might not need as much raw memory bandwidth as you do for training, which is the process of actually building the model in the first place. Intel seems to be targeting inference workloads specifically, and that's a smart play because inference is where the volume is going. Once a model is trained, you need to run it millions or billions of times to actually serve users. If Intel can deliver solid inference performance at a much lower cost because they're not paying the HBM premium, that's genuinely interesting to enterprise customers who are trying to manage their AI infrastructure costs. Now, whether this actually works in practice, Whether the performance-to-cost ratio holds up against NVIDIA and AMD and the other challengers, that's something we'll need to see in real-world benchmarks. Intel has a history of making bold claims that don't always pan out, so I want to temper expectations a little. But the architectural thinking here is sound. Challenging a cost structure by redesigning around the expensive component, that's a legitimate engineering strategy. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And finally, let's talk about this CNBC story that's been generating a lot of buzz. An NVIDIA challenger is claiming their AI chip is 10 times faster than a GPU 10 times. That is a massive claim, and I want to dig into what's actually being said here. So the company in question here is positioning itself as a fundamental rethink of how you do AI compute. And the 10 times faster claim? Look, whenever you see a number like that, your first question should always be, faster at what, under what conditions, compared to which specific GPU? Because benchmarks can be incredibly selective and the context matters enormously. Here's the thing though, the claim isn't inherently crazy, and here's why. Traditional GPUs were designed for graphics first, and they got repurposed for AI, because the math involved, lots of parallel matrix multiplications, happens to map well onto GPU architecture. But GPUs still carry a lot of design baggage from their graphics origins. They have to be general enough to handle many different types of workloads. A chip designed from the ground up specifically for AI inference or AI training doesn't have that constraint. It can make radically different architectural choices, different memory hierarchies, different compute layouts, different ways of handling sparsity in neural networks, all optimized purely for the AI use case. And in theory, a purpose-built architecture can absolutely crush a general-purpose one on specific tasks. That's the whole premise behind Google's TPUs, and what companies like Cerebras and Graphcore and Grok have been pursuing. The 10 times faster number likely refers to a specific benchmark, maybe token generation speed for a large language model, or throughput on a specific inference task, rather than being a universal claim. And that's actually fine, as long as customers understand what they're buying for. If you're running a specific type of AI workload all day every day, and this chip really is 10 times faster at that workload, that's a genuinely transformative advantage. The challenge for any NVIDIA challenger isn't just the hardware, though, it's the software ecosystem. NVIDIA's CUDA platform has been the dominant programming framework for AI and GPU compute for 15 years. Developers know it, tools are built around it, and switching to a new chip means learning new tooling and potentially rewriting or recompiling a lot of code. That software moat is arguably NVIDIA's most durable competitive advantage, more than any individual chip spec. So when I see a 10 times faster claim, I get excited by the hardware engineering. But I immediately start asking about software support, about what frameworks and libraries are compatible, about how easy it is to migrate existing workloads. Because at the end of the day, the chip that wins in the market is not always the fastest one, it's often the one that's easiest to actually use at scale. That said, the AI chip market is growing fast enough that there's room for multiple winners, and every credible challenger makes the whole ecosystem more competitive and innovative. And that's good for everyone. All right. That's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. What a lineup! Jim Keller throwing down the gauntlet, TSMC navigating geopolitics and supply constraints, Intel making a bold memory bet, and a new challenger swinging for the fences against NVIDIA. There is never a dull moment in this industry. The AI Hardware Show is brought to you by Limitless AI and Ago Consulting. Check the link in show notes to learn more about both of them. If you got value out of today's episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave a review if you can, and share it with someone who geeks out on chips and silicon like we do. All the details and sources from today's stories are in the show notes. I'm Skylar Monroe. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.